Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday, a Masters Sunday, which was just unbelievable theater. I know that we're here to talk about Ole Miss sports, specifically Ole Miss dropping that series to Tennessee, an epic, epic series. I mean, if you're just sitting back and observing, you saw three really good baseball games played between two really good teams. That's kind of the takeaway from this series. But if you did the old two TV setup, you had an incredible final round of the Masters really all day long. I mean, it was start to finish drama, guys ascending, guys descending, Rory making big mistakes, then making big shots, and then Justin Rose coming out of nowhere. It was amazing. And then on the other side, you had Ole Miss Tennessee just fighting it out in the rubber match of a great series. It was a really good sports viewing day, although obviously for you guys it did not end the way you were hoping. But we did learn some things about Ole Miss baseball this week, and at least I think we did. So we'll talk about that tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. And don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and if you have not already, please subscribe to the podcast feed wherever you get them. I'm talking weird. I've got a weird cadence tonight. But wherever you get your podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. So let's get into it. Ole Miss loses 2 of 3 to Tennessee, and that's the question, right? Are you an optimist? Are you a pessimist? The truth somewhere in the middle. Two things can be true at once. All the things that we say throughout the year. I mean, all year long, we do it in football, we do it in basketball, and now here in baseball. Which one is the truth? What did we learn about Ole Miss this weekend? Are they quote-unquote for real? Is this a team that can compete for the College World Series? Is this a team that can compete for a championship? Are they deserving of that number 6 ranking that they got? Those were the kind of things that people were talking about going into this weekend. And in your opinion, did they prove that? Are they a team that belongs there, or do you still have questions? Quite simply, I think that they prove that they belong there, even in a series loss. Now, there's a couple of questions, of course, about how the game ended today and pitching decisions and things like that. But I think the Arkansas series, even though, again, they lost. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze here. And then they lose this series again today. They are an out or two away from, I mean, being in a totally different position than they are right now, which is still a very good position to begin with. But I do think that when you look at their season as a whole and what they're capable of, especially offensively, and now that Maddox has settled in and is starting to give, he's given them back-to-back really good starts, especially against this Tennessee lineup. They are, at least to me, I think that they have shown you that they are deserving now of what their ranking was. I think they are absolutely a team that is worthy of being on the right side of the hosting bubble as of this moment. I think they're for real. Now, are they a championship team? Maybe not, probably not even. But I do think that they proved this weekend that the Arkansas series, them fighting through those three games, that wasn't a fluke. Having the record that they have wasn't a fluke. The ranking that they have is not a fluke. This is a very good baseball team. It is a good to very good baseball team, and they showed that again this weekend, especially offensively. It is one of the better offenses in college baseball. That is an elite pitching staff. I know what happened on Friday night. Liam Doyle is, despite the hatred that Ole Miss fans deservingly have for him, we talked about that going in. If the kids want to be professionals, well, guess what? You're a professional now. And when you force your way out or find your way out of a previous team and join a new one, and then you come back with that new one, you get treated like dirt. That welcome to professional sports, my friend. He's an elite pitcher, and he showed you that on Friday night and really shut down the Ole Miss lineup, and he's going to do that to a lot of people, and sometimes in baseball you just run into an ace that's really on, and that's what happens. But then they bounced back in game two, and I was really impressed yet again, even though they lost the series, with what this team's mental makeup is. I mean, your back's against the wall. You lose an emotional game on Friday night where Doyle really kind of gets after you, and you turn around and Maddux, I mean, gives up a home run to start the game, and yet you score three in the bottom of the first. You respond right back, and then Tennessee punches back in the second, and then you respond again, and they punch again in the sixth, and then you respond again, and then Maddux, who had struggled up until last week, gives you a really good start, and Ole Miss shuts the door, really, on Tennessee. And then a similar thing happened today. I know what happened in the top of the ninth and the decisions that went into giving up that lead and giving up three runs and losing the series. But Ole Miss found themselves in a hole yet again. I mean, they're down 1-0 in the first. They give up a five spot in the sixth, and they turn around and they score three in the bottom of the sixth, and then again in the seventh, and again in the eighth. This team has some resiliency to it. They are clearly able to absorb punches and turn around and punch right back, both within the progression of an individual game and also within a series where they get punched in the mouth on Friday night. They come back Saturday. They play really well. So they are what I think is a mentally tough team with a lineup that's really quite good. And they've got starting pitching that is good enough for them to host a regional, get to a super regional with the right matchup. They find their way to Omaha. There's a couple of questions, obviously. The back end of the bullpen, the decisions that Jones and Rodriguez in particular coming out for the ninth. I know Spencer's been banged up, but no Spencer, no Caney all weekend. Really, there had to have been better options there. I mean, at this point, it's been established that Braden Jones is not yet built for that spot, and to continue to put him in that spot is teetering on being unfair to the player. Should not have been put in that situation, and ultimately it cost Ole Miss today. And then I don't know what the heck you do with Mason Morris. I don't know what you do there. There's two sides – and both of them are right on this debate with Mason Morris. There's two sides of the debate, and both of them are right. There's one side that want to see him assume a weekend starter role, because if whatever he does in relief translates to starting, he's Ole Miss's best pitcher. Regardless, he's Ole Miss's best pitcher. He's the best pitcher they got. And so are you really wanting to continue to use your best pitcher in a situation in which he takes over when you're behind? You want to make a habit out of that. Now, he's the reason that they stayed in that game on Friday night, and he gave them a chance to win that game, and they had opportunities, and they just couldn't capitalize on them. So the decision wasn't totally unsound. Like, it makes sense. He came in, he settled the game down, and you trust your offense to go get you more than two runs, and on Friday night they just couldn't do it. So it's sound and logic, but that is your best pitcher. And the only time you used him this weekend, he took the ball first when he was losing the game. And so is that the best use of your best pitcher? That's a very good question. Do you move him to Friday and Elliott Saturday and just use, instead of Nichols in a starter role, use him in Morris's role right now? He might be suited for that. That might work out. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I know it's, frankly, I would start him. I think that a guy with his stuff and his ability to extend outings and, I mean, see a lineup multiple times and keep that Tennessee lineup off the board like he did and dominate the way that he did, I don't think using him out of the pen is the best way to use him. I think starting off a game with him shutting down a team, which is what he's going to do on most nights, is the best use of his ability. But I see both sides of that debate. But all in all, it's a frustrating weekend, I know, because Tennessee is who they are, and they have a couple of guys that are who they are. But I do think that this team showed you that they are absolutely capable of competing with and playing with the best teams in college baseball, and the best teams in college baseball right now includes them. They have weaknesses in the pen. There's no doubt about that, but everybody's got warts somewhere, and we just know what Ole Miss's are now. But as a team, as a whole, that was what Ole Miss baseball was supposed to feel like. A nationally competitive team playing against another nationally competitive team. They looked extremely evenly matched. The crowds at Swayze were unbelievable. Competitive baseball has returned to Swayze Field, and it was 2 long years without it. So no moral victories. They lost the series. They had chances to win. They didn't pull it off. If they want to host, they've got to find a way to close out games for sure, especially if they want to be a national seed, which they can be if they start stacking some wins. But I love their mental toughness. I love that offense. And I think that they are, after this weekend, you now can comfortably say that they are most definitely worthy and deserving of the rankings and all of that stuff that they've gotten so far this season. So I'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online, by the way, at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So the car buying experience is miserable. Frankly, it truly is. I don't want anybody's lying to you if they say buying a car is a great thing. It's not a great thing. It's frustrating. It's a big purchase. And so often, so many people that you know have been in situations in which they bought a car from somebody that didn't do them right, whether they sold them a used car that, in my experience, sold me a used car that did not get the appropriate inspection that they claimed that they did, and it was a piece of junk. And they should have caught a lot of things that were wrong with it, and they didn't. But I bought the car, and the sale was final. And, yeah, that was an awful car buying experience. That wouldn't happen at Toyota of Brookhaven. So exit 40 in Brookhaven. They've got a service department Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Doesn't matter, make or model, whatever car you got. It's one of the highest-rated service departments in the state of Mississippi. But most importantly, they've got great new Toyotas. And if you tell them I sent you, you get $1,000 off any new Toyota there at Toyota Brookhaven. Just tell them that I sent you. But they have new and used cars. They have great interest rates if you're trying to buy a new truck as well. Toyota Brookhaven will deliver for you. You'll have a great car buying experience. First comment, so now that Ole Miss is back to being good, we're getting the signature Bianco big game pitching debacles again. It's like clockwork, isn't it? Tennessee made better decisions and more clutch plays, which is frustrating to hear, but that's why they're a superior program. And then finally, two more. If Connor Spencer can only throw 27 pitches in a weekend, then what are they even thinking about having him as a closer? As soon as Bianco signaled down to Jones, I knew he'd serve up some BP for Tennessee to win the game. So the Spencer thing in that comment stood out to me. Because you're right. I mean, I know he's been coming back from injury, but still at this point he can only give you 27 pitches. That's at least what they're signaling to us right now. Playing the long game is smart. Protecting him is smart. But that he certainly could have been useful. I am more curious about Canny not being available than I am Spencer, because we know that there is at least a recent injury and he's working his way back from that injury. Why doesn't he get the ball once this weekend? I mean, going to Jones there in that spot feels... I mean, not that... Not that our thoughts matter at all, right? But everybody I know, when he took the mound, expected the result that came, and that's unfortunate. But that is, and his numbers in SEC play really paint that picture. If there's not a better option for you, and there is, but if there's not a better option for you, then you've got a serious problem. And they kind of might have one right now until Spencer comes back healthy. If Spencer's 100%, then he pitches and Ole Miss wins today. Ole Miss scored the same number of runs as they did learn that they can play with anyone. I agree. They can compete, but this bullpen has got to get it together. And the thing is, I think they're getting better. I think they're getting better. It's just the top of the ninth inning on Sunday afternoon bit them. So I want to say something about Friday. If Liam Doyle really wanted the smoke, then he should go get it with hiding in the dugout with his buddies. He's soft. Yeah, here's this happens in sports a lot, right? Like when Anthony Davis left the Pelicans, he wanted out. New Orleans wanted him to stay. They paid him for 7 years an insane amount of money. The city loved him and embraced him, and the franchise made him their guy, and he had an offer for a Supermax on the table, but he wanted out. And so he left. He didn't get traded. The team wanted him to stay, and he chose not to stay. And then he comes back to New Orleans to play for the first time, and he has a really good game, and people are like, oh, Anthony Davis, revenge game. And I thought, revenge? On who? They wanted you there. They wanted to pay you a lot of money to be there. Why is he mad? What's he trying to get revenge for? He chose to leave. He thought the grass was greener, and that's what he chose to do. But they wanted to make him a max player. Like, they wanted to pay him the maximum allowed amount of money that they could. Same thing with this. And I know that there was a lot of online chatter, and I'm sure Liam Doyle saw a lot of that. But Ole Miss wanted him to stay. And Ole Miss offered him, and he agreed to, an extremely large amount of money for a baseball player, for a college baseball player. Ole Miss wanted him to be a highly paid pitcher for their team, for their school. And he chose to leave. So why is he mad? I don't understand that. And that happens in sports. I just gave you the Anthony Davis example. So it's not just that. It's a widespread thing that happens in sports. Not always, right? There are some guys that leave and that are thankful, or there are some guys that leave that'll just put their heads down and kind of accept it, right? Why was he mad at Ole Miss? What was he mad about? Why did he want to beat Ole Miss so bad? Like that. Like, why was it emotional in that way, I guess I should say? I understand Ole Miss's emotion about it, but like, they wanted him to stay. He chose not to stay, and he chose to make the breakup ugly. And so he goes to Swayze, and he's like, I don't know. I don't understand that. Anthony Davis did the same thing, and I don't get it. I don't get it. 3-2 Tennessee, 8-5 Ole Miss, 10-8 Tennessee, total runs 18-18. This team doesn't give up. The ceiling is high. Hunter Elliott will return to form. And that's another concerning thing is, but when? You know, when will that happen? He's got command issues lately, and if anybody can figure that out quickly, it is him, right? We've seen him do it at the highest level, but right now there are some command issues with him. There are most definitely some command issues with him. Do I feel like State is going to do enough to make the tournament? I do, actually. The schedule gets easier. I'll read more of your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems will take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. If you're a Mississippi company and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's tech and it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out at Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So that's Alex Caney didn't even get a chance. That sixth inning was a disaster. How did Hooks have that long of a leash? I mean, if we're being totally honest, they don't have that many great options in the third game out of the bullpen. It is kind of a crapshoot right now. And that, I mean, that's their fault, right? There is not like a surefire, this answer is a great answer that you know is going to work. They don't necessarily have that, I don't think, anyway. especially if Spencer can't go. Since Maddux is pitching well again and Nichols is good, I'd say just stay with Elliott and Morris on Friday, especially if Elliott gets his stuff back. That 1-2 punch can really, really help you in series. But, man, I understand. You shouldn't fence straddle in the sports opinion business, but I see the other side of it. I mean, you bring in your best pitcher when they're losing the game. I mean, he never pitched with a tie, let alone a lead. And the question is fair of, is this the best use of his ability? But anyway. You made a joke on Friday that Mason Morris will look good in orange next year. No, the program, I think right now, something else that's happening too is the program is just in a different spot than it was a year ago as well. I mean, you saw the emotion that they played with. There was a little extra. That team has been galvanized. Thanks a lot to Luke Hill for that. Which, what a 180 from the beginning of last season to when the program felt like it was falling apart at the end of last season and guys were leaving, that he was the one that like kind of kept everything together. And I mean, now he's playing great, but with also like the great right emotion as well. No, I know you were just joking, but I don't think that you'll have a similar situation at the end of this season. I think that, I don't think that's going to happen again. They witnessed that garbage, and they're not going to allow that garbage to happen to their team twice. Tennessee made 4 counted errors today, and you could argue 6 or 7 in total, and they couldn't take advantage of it to win that game, yeah. Opinion on the shortstop position, seems like they can't lock down a guy. Chang looks good, but bad isn't always there. Yeah, I mean, I think you just got to play him. I think he's their best defensive option, and I mean, his replacements aren't I mean, really all that better, are they? I mean, if not Chang, who are you going with? Or are you going to reshuffle the defense again where you to mark what you put him to third? And you know what I mean? Judd's been playing a good second base, and Luke Hill is much better at third base. This is just kind of where they have to be, but I do think that Chang is their best option at short right now. SEC ate itself alive this weekend in baseball, but Ole Miss has a real chance to win some games in the second half. South Carolina's reeling, and Vandy got blasted by Oklahoma. Absolutely. So let's take a look at what they've got coming up. South Carolina in Columbia. Now, I know they have to go on the road, but South Carolina is abysmal. Then they have Mississippi State and Pearl. That's next week, after South Carolina. Vanderbilt and Oxford, like you said, Oklahoma is that's a good team, and that'll be a tough series for sure. Mississippi State and Starkville is always tough. We'll see if this weekend gave them a little bit of mojo or not, but, I mean, it's the SEC. You're going to have a tough schedule, and they've got one, but some real opportunities for wins, no doubt. I mean, this South Carolina series, they got to go there and get two for sure. We'll see about Mississippi State. I think they can be a postseason team. They've got the talent to do it, but we'll see if they have turned the South Carolina and Oklahoma, or excuse me, not Oklahoma, South Carolina and Alabama series into something, or if that was just a blip on an otherwise unremarkable season. Most frustrating series loss in a while, felt entirely avoidable. In part because it was, and Spencer looked excellent on Saturday. He did. You know, it was really good today. Gunnar Dennis was really good today. Have no ill will towards Braden Jones, but that guy got a save against Florida. Now his leash is a mile long. Yeah, and see, that's kind of my point, though, right? Is I know his numbers are almost an outlier in this, but he's been put in a spot and succeeded. And you know what I mean? There's just not enough consistency to know. And this is my question too. So Spencer can't even throw one inning today. So he can throw 27 yesterday, and like that's his pitch count for a weekend is 27. I know they're trying to keep him healthy, but you really can't come in to get an out or two outs, you know, that you're just totally shut down. That's interesting. Think Fisher handled the crowd fine, but Doyle acted so mad towards the crowd like they threw him away. Yeah, and you know, from our vantage point, Doyle was the more emotional one a year ago than Fisher as well. But and Fisher had to deal with it more too, right? He had to deal with it three games instead of just one. But yeah, it's when you make professional decisions, you have to like accept the professional consequences. And to his credit, he absolutely shoved. But like, if he was like, if he had his feelings hurt about not being welcomed back, well, obviously it didn't matter because again, he pitched exceptionally well. But yeah, they didn't cast you out. You told them that they weren't good enough. It's a different deal. What's worse, missing a couple of meetings in spring camp or threatening to hold out the morning of a major top 10 matchup in a New Year's Six game? It's a shame only one is being covered. Well, here's the difference. Ole Miss didn't leak anything about Quinshon Judkins. They didn't tell anybody anything. They kept that under wraps. And ultimately, in the public perception, that kind of hurt them. That ultimately hurt them. Because if they'd have leaked it like Tennessee did, then we're having a different conversation. Tennessee leaked the issues with Nico, and that's what started the news cycle. Ole Miss did not. So in hindsight, maybe they should have. So that's why it's not being covered, because there was no Pete Thamel sources say that Ole Miss has offered Quinshon Judkins X amount of money and he said no, and you know there was none of that. That didn't happen. There was no leaking about threatening to hold out before the Georgia Tech game, right? That never got out to anybody until after the fact. So that's why it's almost kept that quiet. They finally have something at the catcher position. Yeah, Foley, man, he's just hitting bombs, isn't he? Quite surprised there wasn't any confrontations or ejections. Tennessee pitching coach came close to being tossed. Doyle also should have been warned for taunting multiple times. That was a pretty weak officiated, quote-unquote, umpired, is that how you put it, series. They let a lot of things go that they probably shouldn't have let go throughout the series. But I am kind of – so what's funny is – I say I'm old school, but I'm not. I don't think that you should intentionally hit players, which is an old school thing. But I'm also old school in the sense of when you strike a guy out, run back and high five your teammates and go to the dugout. You know, if you hit a home run, all the stuff they do on second base or shooting arrows and doing all, and everybody does that, by the way. I mean, that's not exclusive to Ole Miss. Everybody does that. I don't think he's into baseball. He doesn't seem to care much about baseball, but we'll see. If he does play baseball, tell him if you hit a double, just dust yourself off and then look at the signs and play. I don't want to see any of this, all the crap that they do. I don't want to see any of that. You play. Winning or being successful is good enough. But anyway, what do I think this team's ceiling is? College World Series. I do think that they can get to Omaha. I think they've shown it. They can compete with the best teams in college baseball. They've shown it. Need to win two of three at South Carolina minimum? Absolutely. Absolutely. South Carolina is quite bad. Feel like Gunnar Dennis got some tough calls when he walked the guy in the top of the ninth. Can't help but wonder what would have happened if he got the leadoff guy. Probably changes the game, but yeah, he did get a tough strike zone there. with Ole Miss's upcoming schedule. I think they will definitely host. Certainly has the opportunity to do so. I don't think that they can get there without two this weekend, though, because, I mean, Oklahoma and Norman, that'll be tough. Auburn's good. Auburn just swept this weekend. Mississippi State and Starkville will be tough. I know that they haven't been good up until this week, really, but you guys know what that's like. And that Ole Miss series there is certainly different. So I think a game like today is the difference between Ole Miss being a top eight seed or not. Yep, need to win some of these series against top teams. They'll end up getting another chance with Auburn for sure. Sticking with the 17-13 prediction for now. I don't hate it. I didn't get to watch as much State as I usually do because of the Masters, but yeah, I hear you. Nate Williams looks like a legit closer. There's a – man, State needs one more starter. Need one more starter. Auburn swept LSU. Georgia walked off Arkansas to win the series. Texas barely escaped Kentucky. That's a quality series win for Ole Miss. Oh, yeah, especially on the road, no doubt. Austin, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Appreciate you. Thank you really much. I was about to say thank you really much. It's been a long day. It's been a really long day. I was up before the sun came up. And anyway, I appreciate you is what I'm trying to say. See, I was in the stadium, didn't have the best angle in the ninth, but was he out at second base when they reviewed it? I don't think so. I don't think they had a good enough angle to change the call. Now, again, I was trying to watch Rory win as well, so maybe I missed, but it didn't look like they had a good enough angle to, because he was definitely dragging his foot. But you just could not tell if he was touching the base. The other angle didn't get, I don't know. It was an awfully quick review, though. Will be interesting to see how they respond next week. Worried they'll come out flat. See, I'm not. I'll be surprised if they do. This team has, so far anyway, overcome adversity the right way. They have responded well to adversity so far anyway. So I think they got all the reviews correct. I think with better camera angles, the play at second would have been different, I think. But you say ultimately this weekend was a success. It sucked, didn't finish the job. But, man, that Arkansas, now Tennessee, where you went to the 9-3 outs away from a series win is brutal. It is brutal. It is. And, man, that's the other side of the coin, right, is, you know, they're close, but why aren't they overcoming? Why aren't they winning in those spots? What is it, just a result of bad luck, maybe a bad decision, you know, two really good teams, stuff happens, or is that a thing that's going to continue to happen? They got to figure that out quick. But I appreciate you guys being here. As always, we'll be back on Tuesday, back to the old regular schedule. So I'll see you guys then. Appreciate you being here. I expect there's going to be some basketball portal news, either good or bad, between then and now as well. So appreciate you guys, and I'll see you then.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.
Find your new ride at Kia Macomb's all-new location at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Come find out why Macomb loves Kia Macomb at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Right on the corner, right on the price.